Just have a moment of quiet. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As some of you may know, I spent a number of years in the army before I graduated to the heady world of insurance. I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. Maybe a child, but we'll have to wait and see. But in the army, there's a lot of shouting. And I did wonder about giving you some examples of the shouting, but I felt for those with hearing aids, it might be a little unkind. And people ask why there is so much shouting. Why couldn't you just ask somebody to do something? The answer is, in the army, you're training for that day, which you hope will never come, where there is muck and bullets flying, and you have got to do the job for which you're trained. There's going to be a lot of noise, a lot of adrenaline, and a lot of fear. And the only way you're going to get people to do the job is if you train, 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 and if you talk in a loud voice. You're going to drum it into them that this is what they're meant to do in certain circumstances. Because how rationally do any of us think when we are panicking? It goes out the window, doesn't it? It's, you know, if you're frightened, you run around in circles like the proverbial headless chicken. You have to really concentrate if in a situation like that you're going to achieve anything. I'd like you to just close your eyes for a minute now and imagine yourself in that situation of our first reading. On the evening of the first day of the week, we're all gathered together. The doors are locked because we're afraid. Jesus, who we've been with for 3 years, has been brutally killed and his body has disappeared. The doors are locked. We're listening for the footsteps on the stairs that might tell us that somebody is coming to get us and to subject us to the same fate that Jesus suffered. We're talking in hushed tones. We're speculating about what had gone on. How frightened are we? And then in the middle of this fright, these hushed conversations, suddenly, there is Jesus standing in the middle of us. Jesus, who we know was killed and buried, and whose body has disappeared, and yet he's standing in the middle of us. If you weren't frightened before, then I think you certainly would be at that point. And what does Jesus say? Peace be with you. And he repeats it. Peace be with you. You open your eyes now. I don't know if any of you have ever seen The Life of Brian, but there's a terribly funny scene where they're all meeting in a room behind a locked door, and somebody comes and knocks on the door. Can you remember what happens? They all stand up in absolute panic and they try and hide. I'm glad that Kev isn't sitting at the back because he and Pete would be crying with laughter by now. But they all try and hide, and one of them grabs a thing which looks rather like a lampshade and puts it on his head, and another one sticks his head in a bucket. And I don't know, they all, you know, four of them try and get into a cupboard or something. That's the sort of panic, the sort of fright that I think those people in that upper room would have been reduced to. But rather than going to hide as people in that film did. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And they were. Because he knew, Jesus knew, that he had to tell them, give them that important message. "As the Father sent me, I am sending you." And there's no way, I would suggest, that the disciples would have understood or received that message if they were so frightened. And the word that Jesus would have used, you won't be surprised because it's one of my favorite words, shalom. Shalom. The peace of God which passes all understanding. So where do we seek our peace? There are a lot of things out there, a lot of voices out there in the world that will tell us where we can find peace. Advertising is all geared towards telling us that if we have whatever product it may be, we will be better off, we will be more at peace, we will have a happier life. Have we got a slide to show, Derek? I'm hoping. Yes, no? It's coming. It's coming. But there are many, many places that people will tell you you can find peace. That wasn't the picture I was hoping for. many voices out there. Many, many voices. But those things, do they give you a lasting peace? They will give you a little... There we are. Thank you. I don't know if you can read the caption at the bottom. Can you prescribe me something to help me rest in peace? Who needs one of those prescriptions? Thank you, Derek. But yeah, all those voices out there, but they bring us a quick fix, a brief fix. They make us feel better for a little while, don't they? When you've bought that new, whatever it may be, a new dishwasher, a new car, the latest telephone, whatever it may be, that the voices in the world are telling you, you deserve, this is the thing that will make your life complete. Gives you a temporary fix, but no more than that. So where should we be looking? Well, if you turn with me to the Philippians reading, it gives us five steps to follow. Verses 1 and 2, we're called to live in harmony with one another. We can have peace within ourselves, but actually, peace needs to be between other people as well, between us and others. Because if we're at peace with ourselves, but at war with our neighbors, then the peace that we have for ourselves is very, very fragile. Verse 3, helping people. In this case, it's helping co-workers to get along, but it's not just co-workers, it's people we meet, members of our family. It's anybody and anybody we come into contact with. We need to help to get along. The first hymn we sung spoke of rejoicing. And that's verse 4, rejoicing in the Lord always. Now this is a tricky one, because when times are tough, it's difficult to rejoice in the Lord, isn't it? But actually, if we can make ourselves sing some worship, if we can make ourselves pray, then God will break through the disquiet, the thing that is troubling us. And he will bring us peace. Even if it's rejoicing in a little thing, rejoicing in a beautiful sunset or a daffodil or a snowdrop or whatever it is, just a small thing that we can look at and appreciate God in, then that will help us to rejoice in him. Verse 5, living graciously, giving grace to other people, showing grace to other people, showing them mercy, showing them forbearance. And then in verse 6, praying out our anxieties, bringing our troubles to the Lord, and he will speak into those situations. So five steps there. And if we can do these five steps, then Philippians tells us the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I think that verse 8 summarizes it and gives us a really good start point. Finally, brothers, and I will add to that, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And if we can set our minds on those, then the rest will follow. I can't remember who said it, but I think there is huge wisdom in it. And it's this: guard your thoughts because they become words. Guard your words because they become actions. Guard your actions because they become habits. Guard your habits because they become your character. Guard your character because it becomes your destiny. And I wonder for each of us today, what do we want our destiny to be? Amen. Please stay seated now and